Well, good morning again. Great. Let's pray, shall we, as we start. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. And we just pray, Lord, as we do this Fruitfulness on the Frontlines series, that you would just help us to be your people in your place, to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we were in the Fruitfulness on the Frontline, looking at ministering grace and love. Grace and love don't have to. They just do it. And in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we saw that those we come across actually become our neighbour. So anyone we meet is our potential neighbour. And we talked about living unexpectedly. Just as the Samaritan didn't expect to find the Jew in a ditch, but he did what he could. So we, as we perceive people that we come across as our neighbour, should also try to minister grace and love. I don't know how you've been getting on, whether you've been trying stuff. I was trying something. I was trying hard with my wife, actually, on her 60th birthday. I'd planned a few days away, secretly planned a few days away for Helen. Gosh, it was hard work, keeping it secret. She booked coffee with a mate. She'd booked a doctor's appointment. I had to cancel both without her knowing. Now, the doctor's one was the challenge. So I phoned the doctors up and I said, look, I know this is highly irregular, but any chance you could switch the appointment to the following week? I am her husband. You know, that doesn't count for anything, does it, these days at the doctors? I am her husband. And they said, well, I said, oh, I really, really appreciate it. She's got her 60th birthday. It's a special event. I'm taking her away, da, 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 da. And they went, well, go on then, leave it with us. Bring, bring, phone goes. And it's the doctors for Helen, and they change it. Fortunately, she didn't go mad. So they changed it. It was fantastic. So I phoned up and said, great, thank you. And then as I was preparing last week's, I thought, I'm just going to give them a ring and say we had a great time because of you. So I phoned up, spoke to the receptionist, who I think she thought I was half crackers when I started. You know, it's been my wife's 60th birthday, we had a lovely weekend and all that. But anyway, she gradually realised that I wasn't complaining and that I was actually saying thank you to the practice and the way they'd sort of done above and beyond the call of duty, so to speak. She says, oh, that's really good, thank you so much. I'll put a message round for everybody. Something simple, something that's nothing really, but I suspect they don't get many folk on the phone saying thanks, do they? They probably get a lot of earache. How have you been getting on? Have you been trying stuff? This week, we're looking at moulding culture. Sounds a bit grandiose, doesn't it? And culture really is just the way we do things round here. How on earth can we change or mould culture? Surely, you know, we have absolutely no effect at all on the prevailing culture around us. Well, our New Testament reading that we've had is salt and light in Matthew's Gospel. And it comes straight after those blessed be sayings of Jesus at the start of the Sermon on the Mount. They spell out a completely different way of living. Kingdom living. Living those distinct characteristics of a disciple. Of Jesus. Jesus' people. So what are they? Poor in spirit. Acknowledging our spiritual bankruptcy before God. Mourning. Bewailing our own sinfulness. Meek. Humble people. Hunger and thirsting for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, a peacemaker, a and persecuted for righteousness' sake. Yikes. That's completely different, isn't it, from our 21st century culture. The culture of the world and the culture of Christ, kingdom culture, I'm going to call it, are often at loggerheads with each other. Sometimes even diametrically opposed. And as Christ's disciples living this way, Jesus says that they will actually influence the world for good. We will be blessed when we're a blessing. Living, as Jesus says, will influence the world for good. Really? Are you serious, Jesus? Can a poor in spirit, meek, mourning, righteous, merciful, pure in heart, persecuted for righteousness, peacemaker, have any real effect on the prevailing culture? Surely, surely if we're like that, we're just going to be too feeble, too weak, and trampled all over. And we're not going to achieve anything or change anything at all. You know what? Jesus doesn't think so. He thinks the reverse. And what he does in Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16, he now defines how kingdom culture can mold the world's culture. And here are the salt and light descriptions of what that nature looks like in the real world. Can you see it there? In verse 13. You are salt and light. Not you must try really hard to be salt and light. You are salt and light, says Jesus. Because that's our identity. It's rooted in Jesus. That's where we get our purpose and meaning in life, in relationship with God through Jesus. It's through living his kingdom culture that the love of God is shared with the world and those around us. Salt prevents decay and savours. God's people can prevent decay in the world. But the salt will only have that preservative effect if it retains its saltiness. If it's contaminated, it's useless. It's only fit for the bin or the footpath. So the saltiness we possess is that very Christian character, that kingdom culture Jesus describes in his Sermon on the Mount. Committed Christian discipleship shown in word and deed, in the way we speak and what we do. And if we're just absorbed into non-Christian culture, we lose that salty influence. Influence on our culture depends on being distinctive and different, not identical. We should rub our Christian salt into our secular cultures as salt's rubbed into meat to stop it going bad. Not left at the door as we leave home, as some would have us do. But what do we do when we see culture or society bad or turning bad? I know what I do. We have a good whinge, don't we? We throw our hands up in disgust and horror at how terrible everything is. But you know, if we don't salt the meat, how can we blame it for going bad? The real question is where's the salt? That's uncomfortable, isn't it? Where's the salt? You see, what's really attractive to the world about the gospel is that it's absolutely different. Even if the world hates the message at first. If we're indistinguishable from the world, we're useless. Salt can be negative, can't it? It can hurt as it purifies. Sometimes we might need to speak out, and that's uncomfortable. Jesus didn't say that we were the honey of the world, but that we were the salt. And secondly, Jesus' analogy that we're light of the world as well as salt in verses 14 to 16. Jesus says that the light should shine forth, and the light is good works. So in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Good works, what we say and do. So light illuminates those dark corners. It discloses the truth. So our words must surely include some testimony of our faith in Jesus. And what our good deeds do, that love, that grace, mercy, compassion, patience and all that, what our good deeds do is shine out the good news of Jesus and his love of which we speak about. So the gospel gains that credibility, if you like, as we live out that kingdom culture. And that light should be seen like a city on a hill, not hidden under a tub. We shouldn't conceal the truth we know or conceal who we are. The gospel, by its very nature, is light. So why would you hide it? Should be open and visible for those to see. Salt and light. Salt to counter the negative, preventing decay, and light to illuminate the darkness. Positive effect of the good news of Jesus, the light of the world. A friend told me that when a Christian colleague left the workplace, the whole atmosphere changed, became negative, backbiting, people swearing and blaspheming. That Christian had an effect even though they didn't recognize it. And we can have an effect about how the way things are done round here. We're salt and light, says Jesus. We may not feel like it. We may not feel that we make any difference whatsoever, but we are salt and light. I heard about a Christian member of staff who challenged their head teacher about heartless, ruthless way they dealt with a colleague, causing him almost to have a breakdown. Unpleasant to challenge, but it was the right thing to do. Salt and light. So how do you live? How do I live? Is the salt kept in a little church salt cellar, never to be sprinkled around? Is the light under a tub? Or has it actually gone out? If it's out, what should we do to light it up again? Return to Jesus. You see, the new life that we've been given by Jesus is to be lived out in full view, out there. Out there in a culture that's decided it wants to live in a different way. One which thinks God is a delusion. It can't be measured empirically, so can't possibly be of any relevance in a high-tech 21st century. How do you and I live in that culture? How do you and I live along people who may think that belonging to church and believing in Jesus is just a little bit weird? It's okay for some, but it's not for them. How do you work for an organisation whose ethos might leave quite a bit to be desired? The way they manage people, the way they use and abuse people, the way they waste resources, the way it doesn't change ever. That ruthless leadership. And how do we take what we know of the good news of Jesus and use it to bring change around us? That preserving, flavouring of culture or society. Salt. Or as light, offering a different way. Jesus calls us to be different and act differently. And it begins, as we've already said, in having our identity rooted in our relationship with God the Father. Where's your identity rooted? Is it Jesus? How can living that kingdom culture affect your attitudes and responses to others? Your actions and what you do in your culture, where you are. And so make some kind of difference in people's lives. There's a lot of challenges there, isn't there? A lot of questions. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, you've given us a new life in Jesus in order that we can live in your world as salt and light. Father, so often we're scared, so often we don't know what to say. Father, please take us and use us. Help us to be those agents, salt and light, where we work, where we live, for those we come across. Help us to remember that we are who we are because of you. Please would you lead us, Lord, that we might be truly salt and light, living a kingdom culture. In Jesus' name, amen.